Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Y'all are listening to the Overseas Connection podcast.
Shut up and sit down.
Here we go.
Would you come?
I think we're just getting started.
Medic!
I'm a witcher.
I think this is more than you can handle.
He sits on his ass all day.
Let's do this.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for tuning in to episode 775 of the Overseas Connection podcast, coming to you live from the West Wing in Roseville, California. It is March 10th, 2024. I'm one of your hosts today, Greg DeLacy, Gamertag Murphy's Law, OC underscore Murphy's Law on Twitter. Yes, I said it, Twitter. On the show today, Sasquatch Kim Woods. Kim.
Yep, that's me. Rumors of my death are a lie, but it was awful touch and go this week, I'll tell you.
Yes. So. For the record, the Sasquatch reference is to a t-shirt she is wearing currently.
Yes, right.
Just in case people not
that she's got a full-on beard and
I'm not becoming the Sasquatch.
There's so many jokes I want to make about that. You know how it used to be acceptable to have the man lady at the circus, but not anymore.
Right.
Anyway, all right, we're moving on. Mark Wright.
Hello, Greg. I've just realized why there's no intro sound being recorded on OBS, because it doesn't record the sound for some reason. I've just added it now, so sorry. We'll have to edit that in again. Sorry.
That's okay. I'm a talented post editor.
Yeah.
Last week completely wiped out all of the audio fumbling that we had to start the show, where people are like, we can't hear you. Yeah. So, all right. Well, welcome to the show, Mark, regardless of sound check issues. We are happy to have everybody here on the podcast. We're going to talk about a lot of video game stuff this week. We're going to talk about life stuff this week, because that's what we do on this podcast. It is much more than just a video game podcast. I like to think of us as like the Everything Bagel podcast. We are on Sundays, 8 p.m. in the UK. But thanks to the powers of time travel that we have gone forward in time in the U.S. while the U.K. has been stuck in a time loop. We are a little early this week in the U.K., so 7 p.m., but normally 8 p.m., 12 p.m. on the West Coast, 3 p.m. in the East Coast, and out in the Central Time Zone that nobody really wants to be stuck in, but they're stuck there because, well, life put them there, 2 p.m. Hi, Kim.
Hi.
We are on Twitch. We are on YouTube. Join us live like Christopher Matthew has. He's right in the chat right now.
He was here early.
He was an early bird. Well, the dick bot. Thank goodness for the dick bot. Discord channel, which you can also join, because it is the future. I can safely say it's okay, maybe not the total future, but it's kind of the future.
We're working that way. Yeah.
Yeah. It's gravitating that way. But we're going to talk about that and a lot more in the show today. We don't have any birthdays to announce that I'm aware of. Mainly because the one person on our podcast that checks birthdays, Robin Tate, is not on the podcast. So if we did miss your birthday, we're almost sorry. Okay, let's just dive into it. Let's talk some story time.
Everyone here loves story time, our favorite time of the day.
All right. Where do we want to start? Kim, let's start with you.
Okay.
Your topics of conversation, they look all kinds of fun.
Oh, all kinds. Well, you remember last week of the show, I said I was pre-medicating because I knew I had a cold coming on, right?
Just got over being sick.
Right. Because it seems like since this year started, I went from being okay to being sick all the fucking time. Like I said, somebody's got my voodoo doll and they're just fucking with me to see how far they can push it, I guess, before I finally keel over. I don't know. But anyway, long story short, I was getting sick, but it was with the flu. Or COVID. I don't know. Everybody's like, well, you sure it's not COVID? Well, I mean, it could have been, but it also could have been the flu. Because at this point, they're both pretty much interchangeable. So,
is it wrong for me to say who cares?
Exactly.
You're sick.
Either way, I felt like, you know, I'd been run over by a train. And it was just, I wouldn't wish it on my worst enemy. Or the person holding my voodoo doll. The thing is, Dad had been sick that week before, and it was pretty bad because he took Friday off, and I pretty much slept all day, and that should have been my hint, I guess. But my thought was, well, I'm probably just getting another cold, because that's what happens. But no, Tuesday, I it finally hit. It was bad enough when Dad went to work. I went back to bed and slept for 3 hours, and I don't typically do that.
Right.
And so from Tuesday, and I guess until today, although today my stomach sort of hurts, and I'm gonna say that's from all the medication that I've been taking. It's finally all leaving my system, so it's probably stirred some things up. So yeah, it was there was the coughing and the nose, and like I said, the general rundown feeling you get when you've got the flu, that you just, I might get up and do some stuff for a couple hours, but then after that, for the rest of the afternoon, I was pretty much sacked out on the couch. So yeah, I had the flu last week, and it was bad enough. Other than a couple of games, on my phone, I didn't do anything. I slept a lot. So.
Well, awesome. You're going to be a huge contributor this week.
I'm kidding.
We're glad you are feeling better.
I'm glad.
If you do need to make a run for the toilet, just, turn the camera off, something,
Obviously, I don't think y'all want to be in on that note. It was bad.
You're feeling better, though. That's the important thing.
Yeah, I am feeling better. I started out with the Mucinex. That wasn't touching it, and we eventually had to bump it up to the NyQuil cold and severe flu. And that eventually finally knocked her out of the park to where at least at night I could sleep without waking up every 5 seconds coughing my head off. So, yeah, I'm better, and I'm hoping. I got the windows open today, even though it's 45 degrees outside, just because the fresh air blowing through the house is hopefully going to help blow this shit out of here. At least I hope. Right. So. Because how it is when you're sick, especially in the wintertime, the house is all shut up. So then you just feel like the shit's still in there with you. So I open the windows and hopefully that'll kind of help.
A Lysol Nazi when someone in the house is sick.
Exactly.
I'm walking around with a giant can of Lysol. I'm spraying everything. I'm usually not one to be oh, let's open up the windows. My wife is, though. She's pretty smart about that. Get fresh air in.
Right.
Get the germs out.
Right.
So the combination of the two of us. We typically can manage germs fairly well.
Right. I even washed my blankets and my bed sheets and stuff this morning in hopes that, this will be the end of it. I hope.
Yeah. I'm knocking on wood. I've actually been relatively okay through all of this cold and flu season, which I probably just gave myself the kiss of death. But,
oh, that's all right. I've had it for you, so you're fine.
Yeah, you definitely have. You've had your fair share and then some.
So anyway, other than that, I got me a weighted blanket this week to see if maybe that might help me sleep a little better. Not having the flu withstanding, I don't really sleep very well. I don't know if it's because I'm getting older or what. Okay. So somebody had made the comment, just get you, don't worry about that.
Weighted blanket.
Have cats going behind me having World War III, apparently.
The cat's going crazy. We've been watching.
Yeah, they're flipping out, yeah. So anyway, I got me a weighted blanket. I've used it the last, pretty much the whole week since I've been sick. And I don't know if it's made a difference, but I got a 20, because I go by your body weight. So I got I think it was 15 or 20 pounds. And let me tell you, that frickin' thing is heavy.
Yes.
I mean, I know that, of course it's a weighted blanket. It's supposed to be, but I was not prepared for how heavy it actually is. So, when you're used to getting up, if you get up in the middle of the night, you just throw the blankets off. You can't do that with this thing because... It does not move. So I'm surprised my claustrophobia hasn't actually kicked in with it, to be honest. But no, it hasn't been bad. So
I mean the theory behind it is it's supposed to make you feel comfortable because you're kind of being cozied up on.
Right.
We had gotten a weighted blanket for my son early on in life. And I didn't really pay attention to the weight variances.
Right.
Of how heavy a blanket you should get versus the size of the person underneath that blanket.
Right.
I think I tried crushing my son.
Probably.
We got a 15-pound blanket, and it just ultimately was I feel like this is too heavy.
Right.
So I think somewhere in this house we still have that blanket. I also was surprised just how heavy that felt. Now, granted, you spread it out, and it's not going to be as directly heavy, but it's hefty compared to what you're used to.
Right. I went to put the quilt on the bed this morning on top of the weighted blanket. And to put the quilt on the bed, it was this is nothing at all.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I don't know. We'll see how it goes. If it doesn't work, I think my sister wants one. So, if it doesn't work for me, I'll pass it over to her. But, so far, so good. We'll see how it goes.
Yeah, I typically like a heavier quilted, a top blanket.
Right. Right.
I don't like multiple blankets.
Right.
It's like I like my sheet and then the quilted blanket on top.
Right.
If you have more, my mom is notorious. My mom loved to have the sheet, then the heated blanket, and right. then a heavy, you know, duvet,
holy,
you know.
Holy moly, yeah.
Like, oh, no, can't do that.
I've definitely got three with the weighted blanket, but mine are, like, really thin. They're not overly insulated or anything like that, because I can't sleep too warm, because then, of course, you wake up, you're sweating, and, you know. So I can't do that, but, yeah.
Mark, do you have any input on blankets?
I was just going to say, not on blankets, but when I'm poorly, I don't know about you guys, but I have some weird ass fucking vivid dreams. It makes you dream really weirdly.
I think, when you're deeply sick, that's when you get the really weird ones. Most of my weird dreams happen when I've been drinking a lot.
Yeah, I'm with Chris. I stick my leg out to regulate temperature. We just have a duvet and a duvet cover. That's all we have on ours. But we have two duvets. We have a winter one and a summer one, a different tog ratings. But in winter, we have the fleecy type sheets and duvet covers. We're called Teddy Fleece or whatever. I don't know. Mm-hmm. They're really fluffy and you just don't want to get out in the morning.
Yeah. By the way, Christopher Matthew has the exact correct formula. It's one sheet, one blanket, one leg sticking out to regulate temperature. That's almost to a T to how I sleep.
Right.
One leg kicks out, it'll go under the covers, it'll go back out, it'll go under. Right. That's how I use perfect sleep time right there. So it's funny that we're talking about sleeping, though, because this will tie into one of my stories from this past week. We got in a new bed.
Ah, nice.
And one of the big challenges was, so we actually got a new bedroom set. We got a new mattress. So we have had the same mattress. It was a queen size mattress for the longest time. We've upgraded to a king.
Wow.
One, it's amazing just because I only think it's like 16 inches of difference.
Right.
But holy crap, it feels like 2 yards.
Yes. Right.
So we went out and we were testing the mattresses and trying to figure out which one we liked. And we ended up going with a Sealy Posturepedic mattress. It's a really nice high quality mattress. And the real question became firm or medium. And I was thinking, you know, I think I like the firmer mattress better. And Cindy gave them both a try. And she's like, you know what? I can kind of go either way. I think I'm okay with either one.
Right.
And I said, well, your call. And she went with the firm. We've now slept on it 5 nights. Hate it.
Uh-oh.
Now, the thing, one of the reasons why we bought from where we bought, they said that, you know, you have a 30-day window to try a return. Mm-hmm. Well, we went back like literally like 3 days later. We're like, we want to return our mattress. It's too firm. We needed some squish. We needed to feel like the bed was hugging us as opposed to the bed trying to eject me out every time I tried to, you know, go onto it. Turns out it's not a 30-day return window. It's a 30-day sleep trial, which you have to sleep with the mattress for 30 days and then you can return at no cost and swap it out for something else. I don't think I can make it 30 days on this mattress. So there's going to be a conversation we're going to be having with them because the guy's like, well, no, you need to wait 30 days. I'm like,
oh, no.
I feel like I need to talk to a manager. So that's my next fight coming up either today or tonight or tomorrow.
Right.
I guess I could just keep going since we're talking mattresses. So backyard decision making has been narrowed to two vendors. And honestly, it was actually narrowed to one vendor. We had selected him and I called him up and I told him, hey, we're going to move forward with you guys. And he's like, okay, well, Monday I'll get out the contract to you and we can kind of finalize things. And then lo and behold, Thursday afternoon, I get a quote come in from one of the vendors that we hadn't heard from. And he had said, I'm going to try and get out to you that week. And he's specifically just a pool person. He doesn't do kind of everything. Mm-hmm. So it's not ideal because there's some coordination that needs to happen. However, his quote was like 20 grand under what our pool side was being quoted for. So I was like, holy crap. Okay. We need to have a conversation with him as well as with the guys that we've you know, quasi-selected because something isn't making sense to me. Well, turns out there is quite a few differences between their bids. And this is one of those things that I hate because you would love to see it just standardized. So you can just compare very easy apples to apples. Here's my quote. Here's their quote, you know, and what are the differences? Everybody does them differently. And so you end up having to go through and parse them out. And ultimately, the guy that came in Thursday had left. There was a few different things that were different in his quote versus the other quote that can add up. And so we had a conversation with him on Friday. He is going to be kind of adjusting his quote and should match up better now. I'm going to be very curious to see where that comes in because the guys that we had verbally selected with, I may be telling them, hey, either you need to come down to match or we might go with this other guy. If we go with the other guy, though, there is going to be some headaches involved here. It's going to be a lot more micromanaging of different vendors because we're going to have a separate landscape guy come in and work with him to make sure that that gets done properly before all the cement gets laid down and things become more permanent. So we'll see. But it's still I cringe every time I start seeing those big numbers. But it's gonna be awesome. I will say that I'm gonna love the backyard when it's done. But getting there is a little bit painful. Okay. Speaking of painful, I think every person, especially as an adult, maybe in our, I should say adult, in our older years, not so much our younger adult years, I think we embrace the phrase, some assembly required. yep. You know, it's not a problem. And then as we get older, we start paying attention a lot more, especially when it's just assembly required, not some assembly. It's and always, even when it says some assembly, it's kind of bullshit. It's like full on assembly.
Right.
Well, we bought a new dresser for my son. It arrived and IKEA-esque, but not IKEA. So that's the first warning sign because IKEA, love them and hate them, they're very good about the instructions and it's really straightforward how they do it. And they always give you like everything you need to put something together in the pack with the IKEA furniture. This was just straight up big, bold letters made in China. And I'm like, oh, here we go. So, started assembling and on a whole, surprisingly not bad. But also, I mean, everything fit well, I guess that's what I should say. Everything fit well, which I was actually very concerned about because you get all those little tiny screw holes and things, mm-hmm. you know, the hardware sometimes is really cheap. The instructions were not terribly easy to follow. At one point we thought we were just straight up missing an entire shelf, because of how they were showing two shelves on the page of hardware being assembled to them. They were number 30 and gotta love the numbering systems.
Oh, yeah.
And as I'm looking at, it turns out it was the same shelf. They had shown it side by side because it was two sides of the shelf. You were putting stuff onto it. So anyway, got that assembled, done. Now we have more stuff to sell on Facebook thanks to more furniture coming into the house. And then lastly, I watched a movie last night on Amazon Prime called Ricky Stenicki.
Oh, boy.
John Cena.
That's the one with John Cena. Yeah. I've seen the trailer. It looks a bit crazy.
It is pretty funny in moments. It's kind of hammy in other moments, and then there's other kind of. You can tell they're going for the cheap gags. So, I would say entertaining movie enough. I wouldn't say don't not see it. Enjoy it. Just know you're not getting, it's not old school, it's not Wedding Crashers. My sister tried to tell me it was better than Wedding Crashers, and I need to now just have a conversation with my sister about this,
right?
Apparently, her tastes have changed. That's all I can say. But anyway, so enjoyed it, but it's not getting an Oscar for sure. Ricky Stenicki. All right, Mark, what's been going on with you?
So I mentioned last time I was on, I joined the F1 Fantasy League on the Seal podcast, guys. So there's been two races since then, so I'll give you a bit of an update. So the first week, my team did quite well. I scored 196 points for that first week. I was joint third with Fraser. A couple of the other guys got more points, but they used what we call chips. You get six chips, all different ones, like extra point, like you can get triple points on one of the drivers. But you can only use that one chip once in the whole season. There's 24 races in the season.
Okay.
So, yeah, so there's six more together. So, yeah, so the first week I was quite happy with, and I stuck to my team. I didn't change my team. Big mistake. this weekend, the Saudi Arabian Grand Prix, I only scored 151 points. I had one DNF, which lost me 15 points. I had one guy who got minus points for places lost, another guy minus points for places lost.
Real quickly, may I interject? Yeah. Only because I think we need to have this clarification. Because you said I only scored 150 points.
Yeah.
Good, bad. I'm assuming that's not great, but no, what's no. good? What's bad?
Well, I don't know, to be honest, because... put it this way, it's dropped me down to fourth, so it's not good.
Okay. It was not good, like, yes.
Yeah.
Well, what was your point total from the week before?
196, as you said. So,
okay, so I'm guessing 200 is going to be really good. 150, yeah. Probably more middling to bad.
Yeah. So, so the guy in first place got 185 this week. And he's got a total of 460. Because for first week, he got 275 because he played a three times DRS chip. Because he didn't realize you could only play him once. So,
nice. Okay. Yeah, all right.
So, but it gave him a good head start.
Yeah.
So
it would have been a good play that chip this week because your 150 would have been bumped up a lot.
Yeah. So, I've actually played a chip this week. Not intentionally. I cocked up. So you get two free transfers a week, so you can change either two drivers or racing team constructor.
Thank you. Well, drivers is fine. Drivers, yeah. it's the other name, silly name that is like,
So, so I actually, but I ended up changing, and you can carry one over from the week before. So I had three free transfers. I actually changed four, and I didn't realize. So I was going to take a minus 10 point penalty, and that would have taken me below the next place below me. So I didn't want to do that. So I played the wild card where you can make free transfers that week, unlimited transfer. So I've had to play a chip this week. But what are you going to do? So, yeah, so I've changed my team around. So hopefully I'll have some improvements. Because this week the Haas team did quite well and they scored quite a few points because they went... From the pole positions, they got higher up in the overall finishing results. So they scored quite a few points and way better than what my more expensive drivers did. So, yeah, some of them are out. And Hulkenberg, who's driving for Haas, he's now in on my team. So okay. I am glad I got Verstappen because he's the only one who's keeping me the points coming in. He's got two races, two wins. So, yeah, he's got maximum points for me so far. Carlos Sainz, he was out this week. He had appendicitis. So in free practice two, after that finished, he went to hospital. So they pulled in a Formula 2 driver, a UK guy, a young kid, Oliver Behrman, and he drove for Ferrari, and he did really well. He came sixth in the overall race. Well impressive. So, yeah, for a young kid who's never driven Formula 1 before, he did really well. So he's one to look for in the future. So, yeah, so that's the Formula One roundup for me.
Okay.
TV stroke movie-wise, we watched Beekeeper this week.
Oh.
How was this?
Right, well,
yeah.
I'm quite easygoing on movies.
Right.
Like, I'm not too critical, and I love action movies, and I love Jason Statham, and I really enjoyed this. I thought it was good. It was predictable, but the action was really good, and... the only thing what was a bit unrealistic was Jason Statham sort of like can take out a full squad of FBI agents or a private military contractors without a freaking scratch on him. But apart from that, it was fun. Quite a good premise.
Have you seen Jason Statham fight? You know, just saying.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, the premise is this old lady who is taking him in and is staying in her barn to do his bees and everything. But there's two sides to the beekeeper thing. It keeps bees, but also the beekeepers are also like an off books special forces task force. And she gets scammed by these scammers who like never put this like virus on your computer, and you have to ring up, and they emptied her bank accounts.
Yep.
And it goes on from there. So it's getting revenge for that. So yeah, it's really good. Really good. Well worth a watch.
I will not spill the beans on Ricky Stenicki. You just have to. That part of the backstory of that movie is the important thing. So.
Yeah. Well worth a watch. I really enjoyed it. I thought it was a nice popcorn movie.
There you go.
So that's a beekeeper.
All right.
Apart from that, really busy week at work. A lot of fucking shit boxes are going to work. All I seem to be doing for weeks on end is just MOT failures. So an MOT, for you guys, you won't understand this. An MOT is a yearly test on a car for its safety,
right,
to make sure it's roadworthy. And that covers steering, suspension, brakes, corrosion, lights.
So fun fact. In the US, we don't do those.
I know you don't. Because you have
There's no yearly requirement to do any safety check. We do have a smog test.
Which we can't.
We have an inspection where they've got to make sure that your headlights work and your brakes are fine. And, you know,
you do?
We have the inspection.
I know some states.
You got to get them licensed. Totally.
Yeah.
Nothing in California. The only thing they care about in California is that we have to get our car freaking smogged every other year.
Yeah.
So that means basically it has to pass the emissions test. Yeah.
So right. We have the emissions test as part of our MOT. But the government wanted to make ours 2 yearly, but we've been fighting a lot of opposition because some of the state of the cars we get every year, they're just shocking. Like, it's a very minimum safety standard, but people, like, a lot on an MOT, you can pass it, but you'd advise on it, saying, oh, you probably need this to him before the next MOT. 9 times out of 10, people don't bother. So by the time it comes around for the following year, that thing we advised on a year ago is fucked. The car's not safe. And that's all I've been doing every week, constantly, just shit boxes, MOT failures, brake pipes, for the steering, suspension. It's just been draining, absolute draining. At the beginning of the week, I had an old French piece of shit which wanted injector seals because we were blowing past. When they blow past, it gets all like black carbon buildup, and it makes them a nightmare to get out. I had a right job of that. So yeah, I've had a really shit week. So yeah, I was so glad when the weekend came. But it's going to
CPM just clarified in the chat. Texas, North Carolina also have mechanical safety checks similar to UKIM.
Yep.
California, Florida, nothing.
Just emissions only.
Yeah. Just emissions only. Although I have to eventually, just because the governor here is so trying to push electric vehicles, anything that runs on gas, he is going to put the screws to. So I would not be surprised if we end up getting some kind of safety check on gas vehicles when you do your smog checks.
Right.
Yeah.
But anyway.
So that's all it for me.
Anything else, Mark?
No, that's it for me.
All right. Well, in that case, let's dive into some game talk. Did we check Discord?
No, I didn't, but I'll just check when I do the
sound. All right, fair enough.
It's game time.
Today I feel like playing computer games.
It's game time.
All right, well, you're checking. Kim, real quick, why don't we just run through the free sort of games?
All right, your PlayStation games for March are Sifu, EA Sports, F1 23, Hello Neighbor, and Destiny 2, The Witch Queen expansion. Then, for your Amazon Prime games for March, we have Fallout 2, Scarf, Mystery Case Files, Moths to a Flame, Invincible Presents Adam Eve, Pearls of Atlantis, The Cove, Bus Simulator 21, Stop, Through the Darkness of Times, Bridge to Another World, Secrets of the Nutcracker. Who knew they had secrets? I didn't. And then for your Epic Games for the next few weeks, we have Astro Duel 2, which is now through the 14th, and then Deus Ex, Mankind Divided, which is the 14th to the 21st.
I think we should go with Deuces X. I like that Deuces, better.
Yeah, right.
Okay, so real quickly, Scarf. When I saw that, I thought it was Snarf, and that is a throwback to the Thundercats. If you remember that cartoon,
oh, yeah,
the Thundercats, they had Snarf, 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 and I hated Snarf. I wanted Snarf to die every episode.
Oh boy, poor Snarf.
Anyway, all right, let's talk about some video games. Mark, where would you like us to start with, since you're doing the video?
I mean, I've got them all lined up. I'm a professional.
Oh boy,
you're a professional. Careful, Kim.
Kim's easy. Zero. Yeah. Kim,
I've heard that about Kim, for the record.
Yeah, I didn't play anything this week other than like some Clash of Clans and stuff like that on my phone because I just didn't. Ugh. I even missed out on Battlefield on Friday, which bummed me out terribly.
We'll talk about that first, can't we?
Yeah, we could just fire into that. So Fatal Friday, we fired up Battlefield 2042. It was myself, Mark. We had Jay. We had Snoogans. And then Lord joined
Lord jumped in, yeah.
Yeah. Nice.
And we kept going right until about 11 p.m.
Yeah, it was a good time.
Yeah.
I have not played Battlefield 2042 in so long. So, like, just getting acclimated to how to do your loadouts, how to pick your characters, all of that just felt foreign. So the first half of the first match that I jumped into, I was literally trying to run everywhere. And I'm like, I need to get in vehicles. And then I jumped in the helicopter with Jay. And that's when things changed for the better.
Apart from
I just became a gunner in the Apache. Yeah. And
there you go.
At first, I was like, okay, it's really tough picking targets out. But then I realized there is a infrared scope that you put on. And suddenly, it's just like the Call of Duty mission where you're in the gunship and you're shooting down, and everything's just, you know, they're all highlighted in white color.
That's actually an unlock, is that? You don't get that initially. So,
really?
Because Jay uses a helicopter a lot and he gets quite a lot of XP with it, he's unlocked that thermal. Yeah.
Right. Well, the thermal camera made things 1,000 times easier.
Yeah.
And we wrecked shop for quite a while.
Yeah, and he flies that keyboard and mouse, believe it or not.
Yes,
I don't know how he does it. I can't even fly it with a controller, let alone keyboard and mouse.
Yeah, he did well. And then I jumped in the tank with you, Mark, and then we wrecked shop for a while.
Yeah, I like the tanks.
Yeah.
I like the main tanks, and I also like the Wildcat. Because when I've been playing a lot with Jay on a night after work. So Jay will do a helicopter and I will do the Wildcat. Now, the Wildcat, you can equip either an anti-tank or an anti-air missile. So I was equipping the anti-air. Jay had the anti-tank with a helicopter. So he was taking out the ground targets. I was taking out the aircraft attacking Jay. And it worked really well with doing some real damage. So, such a good game.
Yeah.
Yep.
I have a feeling we will be revisiting that maybe next week.
Yeah, I think so, yeah. And the voting we did worked really well. So last week, I put a vote up in the Discord for people to choose a game. So people were prepared for downloading updates and if they wanted to join, basically, because some people don't they might not like PUBG, they might not like the finals. So I put a vote in and it worked quite well. So I'm going to do that again this week, I think. Probably Tuesday time, I'll put the vote up. But I'll close it out for the Thursday this time. I left it running too long. I didn't realize. But yeah, it worked really well. That, and we had 6 votes for Battlefield.
Yeah. So the upside to Battlefield, it is cross play. So I was on the Xbox. You guys were on PC.
Yeah.
We used the future Discord to chat.
Yeah.
And it worked and that really all well, didn't great. It? Yeah. The only challenge we had was once we had more than 4 in the group.
Yeah.
You can't carry a larger party into which is weird. You would think you could have, you know, 8 people and just have them all, you know, be
going to 2 separate
together.
Squads. Yeah. But you can only have 4, a full squad of 4, which is a shame. And we do like to tend to play against the AI ones because the real player ones, it's just chaos. So when Lord joined us, we had 5. So we had to go into a real player 128 battle.
And then that was 64 absolute chaos.
64, it was just mayhem. But it was fun still. But,
absolutely fun.
Greg had to go after about an hour, so we were back to 4. And we went straight back into the AI ones, and it was just so good. You feel a bit of a badass because you're just fighting AI, but some of the AI can be quite good. So yeah, it's good fun.
All right. And then what else for you, Mark?
So the only other game I played is some more of that Last Epoch, which is the similar game to Diablo. So last time I spoke about this, it had just launched and it had some serious issues with server capacity. So I'm happy to report that on the Sunday night we recorded, on the Monday evening, they were all sorted. They'd sorted out some back-end issues and also increased server capacity. And the Monday night were a bit slower. You had to wait to get into a game, but once you were in, you were okay. We were no, like, kicking you out. By the Tuesday, it was running perfect, and it's been perfect ever since. And this game is just getting better and better. It's so good. If I had to compare this, put this up against Diablo 4, I would prefer this to Diablo 4. Diablo 4 is more polished, don't get me wrong. It's Diablo 4 has got more quality to it, but it's a bigger team with more money behind them. But for gameplay and just sheer enjoyment, this is just superb. So yeah, anybody likes the action RPGs, Last Epoch on Steam's well worth a pickup.
Yeah.
Okay. I still haven't finished the main story yet. Jay's in the endgame stuff now. So like in Diablo, the endgame stuff, you do the dungeons and the Helltides and that. In this, you've got like monoliths, and there's like a massive map where you do each monolith, and it was just so many to do, and they get more difficult as you go on. So he started on them now. One thing with this, the main campaign now, I didn't mention before, it's got different time eras. I don't know if I mentioned it before, but yeah, you do a bit of time travel and you open time rifts and you can go back in time. So you'll go back to the same location you're in now, but a different time area. So there's even one where you go way back to where there's dinosaurs. So you've got different enemies. So it's a really cool feature, quite unique feature to have in the different time eras. So yeah, that's quite interesting.
All right. Okay. Well, the last epoch.
Yeah, the last epoch.
I guess that leaves me. So we already talked about Battlefield 2042. Got in a little bit of sessions with Halo Infinite on Wednesday. You know, no thanks to Snoogans or Lewis actually had work getting in the way. So, you know,
I think Jay is getting tempted by this. I think Jay might be joining you on Wednesday.
I think Jay needs to.
Yeah.
Come on, Jay. Make it happen.
Yeah.
And again, crossplay. It works. Dead Island 2. That's actually the game I want to really spend. Well, there's two games I want to spend some time talking about, but Dead Island 2, I just continue to really enjoy this game.
I've played some of this on PS5 because James bought it. I like it.
It's so good. It's way better than it deserves to be.
Yeah.
I guess maybe it's because my expectations were really low with this game. So it has definitely surprised me. And I think the deformation that you do when you're attacking the zombies.
Yeah.
You know, you're taking a club and you hit them repeatedly on their arm and you will take their arm off eventually.
Yeah.
When you hit them in the head, you can literally smack their jaw off and it'll just be hanging there by sinew.
The big ones are a pain, aren't they?
Oh yeah. I had my first big boss fight and I was doing pretty good, but I didn't, and I should have anticipated it, that halfway through the boss fight, other zombies started coming into the room.
Yeah.
And I was like, ah, crap. So my health was already pretty low. You know, at that point, you start doing the kind of runaway, hit, runaway, hit, runaway, hit type thing. And I lost a little patience for it and died. And then I have to go back, and that's what I'm doing right now, is my first big boss fight. But just all the little things in this game, and I think that's the thing I want. So sometimes it's the little notes or audio clips or little touches that you see of, you know, people that were attacked in the moment, so to speak, or they left the house in the moment. But also the zombies themselves sometimes just crack me up. You look at them and their attire and what they were doing. Because in some instances it's themed to maybe the house that they were in, and it's just kind of funny. It's just they gave it a lot of thought. And the voice acting is all pretty solid.
How far have you got in the story? Have you opened a newer area?
I just went to the hotel.
All right, okay, yeah. There's another area you opened up, was like these rock star people in this house, and they're just so funny. They don't even realize what's going on. They're just wasted. It's just so funny. I won't spoil it.
So the one thing so far it has all been mechanical weapons. Mm. I don't know if you get guns in this game or not.
Yeah, you do, yeah.
Okay. That was actually, I figured you had to at some point, because it wouldn't make sense not to have guns at some point.
Yeah.
But I'm wondering if you know, the bats and the big shanks and stuff like that, or the swords. I actually have an electrical sword right now, which is pretty awesome. I was just going to
say, you can upgrade them at workbenches, and you can make them electrified or fire or whatever. Yeah,
and
you can start modifying weapons. It's really
cool. I wonder if those might be... You can do that
with Dead Island games.
Well, yeah, but I'm just wondering if those might be, like, the go-to still.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Like, I have a pair of Wolverine claws right now.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so anyway, Dead Island 2, it is fantastic. It's on Game Pass right now, so honestly, you have no reason not to play it if you're in that ecosystem. And we'll talk about ecosystems, so again, foreshadowing a little later on. But it's well worth the look. What I also like about it, it's just a zombie game. It's not scary. You're not getting freaked out. I mean, yes, there are some dark corridors, and you hear the scary monster sounds of zombies roaming around, but I never feel like it's truly horror. It's an action game, and it's more creepy than it is in gross, and maybe it's just more gross than creepy. And maybe it's because we've seen so many zombie movies and things over the years that it's not scary to us. But I've never found this game to be scary.
There's a couple of jump scares, though, isn't there?
Well, yeah. I think the first time you open a closet and a zombie jumps out at you, you're like, oh shit.
Yeah.
And then after that, you just know every closet I open up, open from the side, there may be a zombie that comes stumbling out.
There's a really good area, and I think this is in the second area you go to on the beach area, Venice Beach, I think it is. There's like an army base, temporary army base. There's so much fun in there. There's lots of things you can blow up. Let's just say that it's just so much fun.
Oh, and that, you know, you just made me think of the other thing, the environmental stuff that you can do and use to kill zombies is pretty awesome.
Oh, yeah, because there's parts of a road exposed. There's big holes, and then there's big, with like gas pipes, or there'll be water mains, and you can electrify the water, and then they'll just stand there going, and just drop to bits.
Or, you know, situations where you see like a puddle on the ground, and there may not be electric near, but you can grab like a battery. From a car, and if you throw the battery onto the ground, it'll, you know. Now, granted, it's not really how it works in true life.
Yeah, but it's slowing down, doesn't it? Yeah,
that's okay. and then just last note on the awesomeness of certain things. I recorded a moment where I literally drop kicked a zombie off the balcony into a bubbling cesspool of poison stuff, and it was just so satisfying.
Yeah. Like each character you can pick has got different like abilities and traits as well. So
I went with the firefighter.
All right, okay.
Yeah.
I think I went with the main guy. Oh, and this has got a tie into the first game as well. Do you remember the one on the island, Vacation Island?
Yeah.
The rapper, like, who do you voodoo, bitch? He makes an appearance in this.
All right, okay. All right.
Yeah.
Anyway, so Dead Island 2, excellent. And then the next game I want to talk about. So Thursday night, I just was sitting on the couch. I fired up the console, and or maybe it was Wednesday night, but either way, I was just kind of going through, and I was in kind of one of those funks where I was at first. I was going, maybe I'll play a game, and then I'm like, yeah. And so I ended up going to the store, and I just started like watching trailers and videos of all the different games coming up, you know, new games coming out, coming soon, or games that had been released already. And I just was just skimming the store, watching video game trailers. And I came across this game, Classified France, and, it's Classified France 44. And I was like, huh, okay, this is interesting. It looks very XCOM like, set in 1940s, World War II.
1944, believe it or not.
Yeah, true. Fair enough. So I was tempted. I put it on my wish list. I also found Jagged Alliance 3, which also was getting some great reviews, put that on my wish list. But then I was like, I don't know if I want to pay full price. Maybe I'll wait for these games to come out on sale. They just released within the past couple months. So literally like 2 days later in our group chat on WhatsApp for the podcast, Phil Olson, love him, Phil, posts up a video of Classified France 44. And he says, at Greg, you might want to check this game out. It is World War II XCOM. So I start watching that video. And then what happens this morning? I pull the trigger, buy the game, install it, start playing a little bit of the tutorial. This is 100% XCOM in World War II. It controls just like XCOM 2 does, or Enemy Unknown XCOM, the remakes. It has that same kind of system of when you make shots, it'll do kind of an animated zoom in on the character making the shot. About the only thing I can so far tell that's going to be different, obviously you're not fighting aliens, you're fighting Nazis, but in XCOM, you get to really personalize all of your characters, and you can rename them and you know, basically create your own squad however you want. Here, from what I can tell, all of the soldiers that you will recruit or get into your squad are predetermined. So you're not going to be able to customize them like you would in an XCOM game. But that being said, it plays pretty great. So far, so good. Very much enjoying it. So,
what are you playing this on?
I'm playing this on the Xbox.
So all right,
you actually have this game now.
All right, cool. I still keep dabbling into it. I like the Narcos one. Whoever did a strategy game. I still jump in that now and again.
Yeah. So you have access to. This is a bonus for you, Mark. I was just in the mood, and I just said, "Oh, you know what the hell? I'll pull the trigger." So far, I am absolutely happy to have pulled that trigger. The tutorial is pretty good. It walks you through things nicely. I'm trying to remember how XCOM 2 did the tutorial, but I think it's kind of the same thing where they land you into a mission, and I won't talk too much about what the mission is here because it's part of the backstory to the game, but you know, it guides you through a first kind of almost full mission. And then it seems like I'm now at the point where it's like, okay, now you're going to have to fight another little aspect of this first mission, but we're going to just let you do it on your own. And then, you know, and then from there, the game just flows. So it's just this kind of how they're handling the tutorial side of it. But yeah, I like it. I like it a lot. The only thing, the other question I guess I will have is how they handle weapon modification. I can't imagine there's going to be a lot of weapon modification based on the World War II weapons. So that could affect longevity in terms of interest, because the nice thing about XCOM was you could research weapons.
Yeah,
you
update your base and do your research.
Yeah, you're doing a lot of that. Here, you may have a you know, a kind of a swath of weapons to choose from, but from what I can see, it's still going to be pretty limited to, you know, submachine guns, you know, bolt action rifles.
Yeah, it'd be cool pistols. If later on in the game you can like call in a some like aircrafting to do some covering fire for you and that, like an airstrike, or even artillery fire or something. That'd be cool.
Again. We'll see. CP Matthew, yes, I did try Lamplighter League. My issue with Lamplighter League was I didn't feel like it had that same good XCOM combat. I felt like, you know, in XCOM, one of the great things I love about XCOM, also hate about it, is the unpredictability of your shots, right? You have an 80% chance of striking it, and you still may miss. In Lamplighter League, it always seemed like your statistics were pretty spot on to what was going to happen. And also, the whole, the actual fighting and cover, and it just didn't feel as polished or as smooth as, say, in XCOM. So I felt like it was lacking a little bit of that extra secret sauce that XCOM has. So far with Classified 44, I feel like they aped the XCOM combat system almost to a T. So you have your action points. So as long as you don't run out of action points and you have different things that you can do within the action points, you're fine. They have the grid system on the ground, so you kind of know how far you can go before you run out of action points. They do the whole cover thing, you know, full cover, partial cover. The interesting thing that they do is they explain what partial cover actually means. In partial cover, It decreases your chance of being hit or something be able to shoot you by 30%. So it's not a damage reduction, but it's also not a guessing game, because in XCOM, I don't think they ever tell you what the actual partial cover reduction means.
I presumed it was 50%.
Yeah, but here it's 30%, which I'm like, okay, it's 30% is 30%. But anyway, so yeah, Classified 40, France 44. If you like XCOM games, if you like turn-based games, and you also happen to like World War II games, match made in heaven. And that's it for me for what I've been playing this week. Mark, do we have a quiz sound?
I haven't had a chance to make one yet, no.
All right. Wah, wah, wah. There's your quiz sound. we do have a Metacritic quiz this week. Mark, you're getting your cherry popped.
Yeah.
So, this week we are going to be visiting the year, here's a great thing that I forgot to do. I forgot to mark down the year from this. Hang on. It was, I'm going to talk amongst yourselves real quick. I need to look this up because I want to get this right.
So would you sit there and I'll talk to you? Yeah. I don't know what to say. Apart from you should be prepared, Greg.
I know. Well, this is one of those things where I was prepared. I've got all the games, but then I realized I did not put down the year it came out. Yeah. And that's an important aspect too.
If you tell me the scores, I'm about to tell you the year.
Okay, I believe we're talking 2006. All right. I'm just going to make one last double check, and then I will.
Alrighty.
We'll be good to go.
Yeah. So the first year of a 360's life cycle, there.
Wow, that is a chimney. Yep.
All right. Yes, 2006. The year is 2006. Mark and Kim, we're going back in time. You're a little bit younger. Mark might have had a little bit of hair.
Yeah.
All right, so we have three games from 2006. The key to this game is you want to be as close as accurate, either over or under or spot on, obviously, to the Metacritic score for the game and the platform that it was on. Always key to call out what the platform is. We never go more than 20 years back. And we do try and, for the most part, make them relevant games that you're more or less going to know. Kim, however, broke ranks last week, and I may have followed a little suit, but there's a reason why I followed suit with mine. You'll see.
All right. He wants all revenge.
I just did it. Mark, mine was funny.
Yes. Being the visitor, I will give you the option of selecting the number. Give me it one or two. Select a number between one and two.
Two.
So this was heads and tails. Two it was. Yep. So you now have the option. Do you want to go first or last on this round?
I'll go last.
Okay. Kim, you are up first.
All righty.
The game is Guitar Hero on PS2.
Okay.
What Metacritic score did Guitar Hero on PS2 get, Kim?
88.
Kim says 88. Mark.
Well, what I had a number in my head before Kim said hers, and I'm going to stick to it. I'm going to go with my gut instinct, and I was going to say 86.
Mark says 86. The true score of Guitar Hero on PS2 was a 92.
Ooh. Oh.
Kim's nearer.
Yes. I
went lower because when I did the 360 launch games, they seemed to be scored lower than modern day games.
I think critics tended to be a little fairer back in the day. But I strike that back. It was 91, not 92.
Okay.
So not quite as big a difference, but there you go.
I'm not far off, am I?
No, not far off at all.
I'm 5 points off. Not like 50.
So that means, Mark, you now go first.
Right, okay.
Mark, we're talking about an Xbox 360 game here. Okay. Burnout Revenge on the Xbox 360.
Nice.
Now, that was before Paradise, wasn't it? Remember Burnout Revenge?
Yes.
Right, okay. So, yeah. So a lot of that was where you crashed and had to get as many points as possible as well, wasn't it? That was like a game mode. Now, I think that was quite a bit of a niche game as well. Didn't appeal to everyone, so I don't think that would score as high. I'm going to go 80. 80.
All right. Mark with an 80. Kim, what do you think? Burnout Revenge on the Xbox 360. What did it get?
Well, personally, I liked Burnout Revenge, so I'm going to say 85.
Is that the one where you crash into a bus sometimes and you have to cause as much destruction as possible?
Yes. Yeah.
Mass carnage.
Yeah, it was fun.
Burnout Revenge on the Xbox 360 Metacritic score was 89.
Ooh.
So right now, Kim has gained a sizable lead.
She's killing it.
Yeah. Now, for a little bit of fun.
Okay.
So we've all been hearing about Helldivers 2 in the media. So amazingly, in 2006 on PC, the game Starship Troopers came out. So Kim, you are up first. Kim,
alrighty.
What do you think Starship Troopers on PC scored in 2006?
78.
Kim with a 78. Mark, what do you think? Starship Troopers on PC.
I don't remember any buzz about this, so it can't have been that good. So I'm going to go middle of the road. I'm going to go 50. 50.
Kim, much like myself last week, you have been burned by the...
I figured.
Yeah. Starship Troopers on PC scored a massive, massive 46.
Wow.
Yeah. So,
I'll leap back a bit there.
With that one game, Mark flips the tables on Kim, and Mark takes the week. Well done. I'll go through, and I'm going to do a cumulative score update maybe next week, so everybody kind of knows where they're sitting within the standings. But Mark, you've got some catching up to do, just because you got to play a few more times. I'm just
saying.
But well done, both of you.
Do you get points for hosting then? Because like, you, like this week you can't score because you're hosting it, and I hosted it last time.
No points for hosting, or at least I haven't figured out a way to do that. But it's still fun. The retro look at some of these games too. There were some crazy ass games, and I'm like, no. But then I saw Starship Troopers. I'm like, okay, it's in the news. Let's talk about this.
Yeah.
So speaking of which.
I thought you were going to say Helldivers 1 then, but yeah. The news, here we go.
Alrighty.
Here is the fucking news.
All right. So in the news this week, so last week we had a lot of bad news, right? A lot of studios getting shut down, layoffs happening. Well, it's not really that much better this week. So, We got word that PlayStation-backed Deviation Games has closed. In an announcement, it is with a heavy heart that we announced the closure of Deviation Games. Operations Officer Christy Stoll announced on LinkedIn. Said, I want to express my deepest gratitude to the entire team. Thank you for all your hard work, dedication, and contributions to Deviation. I'm incredibly grateful for the opportunity to have worked with each and every one of you. Now, a little bit of important backstory. Deviation was just about 100 people strong in 2001 when it signed a deal with Sony.
2021.
And it was 2021. Yeah. They signed this deal with Sony and said at the time of the announcement, they told games industry biz that this PlayStation deal ensured complete financial security for years and years to come.
Whoops.
Oops.
That didn't take well at all.
Yeah, well, Sony pulled the game. They basically pulled their contract from them, and so I think that ultimately led to this. But yeah, so more closures. Now, on a positive news front, I guess positive, depending upon how you want to look at this, Helldivers 2 was the UK's best-selling game in February, following an impressive launch. Sales during the game's first 3 weeks were just 28% lower than those of Sony's record-setting Spider-Man 2 during its first 3 weeks of availability last year. So game is doing fantastic. But here's the interesting spin. The PS5 version of Helldivers 2 accounted for 57% of its sales last month, with the remainder coming from PC. That's pretty
That's big, isn't it?
Yeah. That's huge.
And I know the PC side of it, if you had an AMD graphics card, it had issues initially, but I've sorted it now. Yeah. But yeah, PC had some compatibility issues.
But even still, this, I think, again, is going to affirm something that we're going to talk a little bit more later on in the news cycle here. But again, this notion of exclusivity, consoles, the future, kind of what that looks like for the gaming industry. And as we talked about for multiple weeks now, we truly think there is shifts happening within these companies. This is not going to be ignored. Over, you know, almost half of the sales coming from the PC side for a day-and-date launch game. If Sony really looks at this and they realized if this had been exclusive, they would have literally lost out about, you know, 40% of their sales for this game if they had just gone exclusive to their console. This is just one more of those little nails in the coffin of day and date exclusivity on just one platform. At least that's my take.
Right. Yeah.
Other takes. Here we go. EA says generative AI could make it 30% more efficient and boost monetization by upwards of 20% over 5 years. So speaking to Morgan Stanley Technology Media and Telecom Conference on Wednesday, EA's boss said advancements in technology are allowing the company to create richer, more personalized content increasingly rapidly. So greater efficiency coupled with deeper, more immersive experiences will lead to significant audience expansion over the next few years and provide a multi-billion dollar growth opportunity. Wilson said that in the past, it might take 6 months to build an in-game sports stadium. Over the last 12 months, that time has shrunk to 6 weeks. And over the coming years, it could be cut maybe to 6 days. And while FIFA 23 has 12 run cycles for how the player moves in the game, EA Sports FC 24 has 1,200 that were created with generative AI. So over the next 5 years, Wilson hopes that generative AI will make EA development 30% more efficient and grow its 700 million strong player base by at least 50% and lead to players spending 10 to 20% more money on its games.
Of course.
And how many staff are going to lose their jobs as well?
Well, here's the interesting thing. So I think, hopefully, again, you know, hopeful in quotes, AI, generative AI like this can really be used as a really good tool and not necessarily as a full replacement to a position.
Right.
So, you know, you still have to have someone that's going to create and run the generative AI and do that. But definitely it is, I mean, it's going to impact developers. I mean, you know, we're talking about literally something that used to take us, 6 months to build being cut down to 6 days. If nothing else, you're just going to pay somebody for 6 days to create the generative AI stadium as opposed to paying them for 6 months to do it. So this definitely is going to impact and shape the industry further. And speaking of shaping the industry, former PlayStation executive calls exclusivity the Achilles heel of blockbuster games. So Sean Layden, former, 30-year career executive as CEO for Sony Entertainment America, basically was talking with GamesBeat, pretty lengthy little quote, but I'll read through it. He said, when your cost for the game exceeds $200 million, exclusivity is your Achilles heel. He said, it reduces your addressable market, particularly when you're in the world of live service games or free-to-play. Another platform is just another way of opening the funnel and getting more people in. In a free-to-play free-to-play world, as we know, 95% of those people will never spend a nickel. The business is all about conversion. If you have to improve your odds by cracking the funnel open, Helldivers 2 has shown that for PlayStation, coming out on PC and at the same time, again, you get the funnel wider. You get more people in. Single-player games aren't facing the same pressure to release on multiple platforms. He said, but if you're spending $250 million, you want to be able to sell it to as many people as possible, even if it's just for 10% more. The global installed base for consoles, if you go back to the PS1 and everything stacked up there, wherever in time you look at it, the cumulative console out there never gets over 250 million. It just doesn't. So this is interesting stuff. And what he's talking about is the console market, even though we've always talked about, oh, we want to grow that market, over and over, it's shown it's never more than 250 million as a mass user base. Mm-hmm. That's kind of interesting.
This is what Phil Spencer's been saying for years, isn't it?
Right.
He didn't want it just on console. He wants it everywhere. I think Sony are realizing that now.
I think for sure Sony has realized that this is an avenue that they cannot ignore, especially if they're going to try and continue to make these huge $300 million games. And the console space itself, I think, is an interesting space. I think it continues. I don't think it goes away. But the notion of just keeping it on your console, on mm-hmm. one platform, especially with budgets going the way they're going, it just doesn't make sense. I'm very curious to see what Nintendo thinks of all of this. I would love to be a fly on the wall for their boardroom meetings and see, you know, kind of, because they have been a holdout for the longest time of just being like, it's only Nintendo platforms.
Yeah.
They never push their games out on PC. Is that changing? I don't know. I don't know if it's changing for Nintendo. It certainly seems like it's changing for Sony. We know it's changing for Xbox.
Nintendo, they have made a slight advancement in recent years where they've put, not full games, but they've put like versions of their games on mobile, like the Mario Runner and stuff.
Yeah.
So they have moved a little bit away from just the Nintendo hardware, but not much. It's not much of a deviation.
Yeah. Interestingly enough, in kind of along those lines, and this is just an anecdotal thing I saw on Twitter right before I jumped on here. Yes, I said Twitter. that's just going to be my tagline now. Sea of Thieves on PlayStation has now leapfrogged Helldivers 2 on pre-orders and sales.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and again, I don't know what they're selling it for on PS, you know, in the PS5, but again, this just goes back to this notion of opening the funnel.
Yeah, you know, and how much crap did Xbox get because we did stuff like that? Now look what happened. So,
Well, speaking of Xbox, former Xbox boss believes serious questions are being asked about the future of consoles. So Peter Moore, he obviously notoriously launched the Dreamcast and Xbox 360 consoles during his roles as CEOs for those different companies. He was talking with IGN. He said, I think a real serious question that's being asked, I'm sure in Tokyo, in Redford, Washington, and in Kyoto, that's what everybody's working on right now. Because when you start that next generation, you've got to be ready to absorb billions of dollars in losses. And is the industry, given all the layoffs and everything we're going through right now, is the industry ready for that? Look at Sony laying off 900 people. A lot there in the UK. My two eldest daughters are working at EA. Interesting. They're all right, but they're always looking over the shoulder. He added, I think the answer to your question, those are the questions that are being asked right now. And it'll all be tied around, do we continue to develop silicon? The role of AI, what does that mean? You can't look away from that. Are these companies willing to go another round of multi-billion? At the same time, you're gearing up for another cycle where gamers may not embrace the console and just say, you know what, do I need this? This times are tough. I'm going to play on my phone. I'm enjoying what I've got on my phone. There's plenty of games I can play. So he's raising kind of an interesting question about, you know, again, console viability for the next go round. I do think we're going to have a next round of consoles. Right. I don't think they're not going to make them. We've kind of had already a firm commitment from Xbox. There will be another Xbox to come. But I do think And I don't know, Mark, do you see it? Do you see a shift of it becoming more, I mean, shifting away from the manufacturing of the plastic boxes, or do you think that they still are all hardware focused?
No, I think eventually the consoles are going to be just like, well, they are now, aren't they? Just like mini PCs. Eventually, I think you're going to have hardware that's going to run everything. It's just going to be basic PC architecture. Like, there's not much architecture-wise difference between PS5 and Xbox Series X anyway.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they're getting more and more in line now than what they used to be years ago. So, yeah, I don't think there's going to be much difference. In the near future, I think you're just going to pick a box or a PC and stick to that, and just you're going to buy whatever games you want for it, and everything's going to be available and everything.
Yeah, it is interesting. I mean, I don't know. All this is speculative, right? So, you know, kind of go round and round. I mean, Kim, I know you are pretty heavy invested in the Xbox ecosystem.
Right.
However, you've started to become pretty vested in PC with your Steam Deck.
Right. But I'm also can't see me being one of those people that won't buy the Xbox because I'm just going to play games on my phone. I still very much like the big screen TV console controller kind of thing.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I mean, you know, Friday when we were playing Battlefield, everybody was on their PCs. I was out in my living room kicking back on my couch with the big 65-inch and, you know, enjoying my lunch along with playing some Battlefield. and that's the way I like to game. I think there's going to be a middle ground on hardware. I think these companies will still develop hardware. You know, kind of much like Xbox has done with like the Surface Pro. You think about it. Mm-hmm. They're making their own dedicated tablet PC, but they're friendly to all PCs. They don't care. You know, they're not really upset if you buy, say, a Lenovo laptop and you're utilizing Microsoft product on that versus you're buying their dedicated laptop. I think that's going to be the way for consoles moving forward. I think there's a path to being like, you know, we'll provide you hardware if you want it, but it's really about our ecosystem, and our ecosystem is going to be able to extend across whatever hardware you buy. And that takes the pressure off those companies to sell and create hardware, to be honest. I just wonder how long that's going to take. Is it 5 years away? Is it 10 years away? I feel like maybe it's a little more 10 year away-ish.
Yeah,
just because
yeah,
I think the shift to the ecosystem first versus hardware first, that's going to be painful for Sony in particular.
I think we need to get people more and more used to with the multiple releases. Like now with PlayStation on PC, Eldivers was the first, but I think that's going to have to be more and more popular before all your diehard PlayStation fanboys stop having heart attacks every time. Oh, no, it's just an exclusive. So, yeah, so that's going to take time. It's not going to be an overnight thing.
So interesting question coming from the chat, Mr. Matthew. Why don't you read that question, Mark?
He's got two, actually. The first one is, does anyone think the success or failure of a Steam Deck will influence this discussion? Well, it has for Kim.
I
think absolutely. I think it's affecting this discussion on multiple fronts. One, obviously from the console space, but I think also it quietly is affecting Valve. And, you know, Valve created, you know, they had the, remember the what was the name of their PC?
It was a Steam Box.
Steam Box.
Yeah,
Steam Box. And Valve created, I mean, the Steam Deck is an iteration of the Steam Box.
It really is. Yeah.
The difference being, and I said this before, and I think it is actually played out the way I said, the problem Valve had with the Steam Box, they had no skin in the game. They designed this an ecosystem, but they really weren't vested in it. They weren't creating their own box. They weren't ensuring.
They left it up to other manufacturers, didn't they?
Yeah, they left it up to the other manufacturers. And here with the Steam Deck, they have you know, bought in. They've manufactured it. They, you know, put their blood, sweat, and tears into it. And so it's interesting because it is a console.
Yes.
The Steam Deck is think about it. It is a console, even though it's technically a mini PC, but you really think about it. It's a handheld PC gaming device. And I think the true evolution here is going to be if Valve says, okay, we've made this, but let's allow this ecosystem, this platform that we created for the Steam Deck to be able to be ported into other hardware. So I could take the Steam Deck experience and load it into my Xbox or, you know, my Rogue Ally, and be able to play my Steam library again, wherever I am on whatever hardware I am on.
Right.
I think that's kind of an evolution here, but Valve needed the success of the Steam Deck first and foremost to see this at, you know, to see the growth of this ecosystem that they kind of were trying to push. And I know there's another question.
Yeah. So you put, you can also connect a controller to your phone, cloud game, and cast to a TV. And I think the key one there is cloud gaming. That could be a big part of the future.
Yeah. So here, I feel like the controller to your phone, to your TV, it's too many steps. I don't know why. Maybe that's just me being old-fashioned. But it does feel like just a couple extra steps that you just don't want to deal with.
Right.
But I mean, there's viability there. Maybe that is the way the future is going to roll. I don't know. I just happen to think those ecosystems will just load into your TV as opposed to having to cast it from your phone to your TV.
Yeah.
But all right. Great questions.
So just really quick, getting back to the Sony thing with the Sea of Thieves. So Sea of Thieves to pre-order on the PlayStation Store. I've got it on screen now. The basic package is $39.99. The deluxe edition is $49.99. And the premium is $59.99. So yeah, there you go. Microsoft's going to make a killing on PlayStation.
There we go. It's all about, the other interesting thing about this, by the way, is to play Sea of Thieves, you have to create a Microsoft account. So that's their Trojan horse into, again, their ecosystem. But I think I had to create a Sony account, if I'm not mistaken, for MLB. Maybe I'm wrong.
Right.
Maybe it was just my Xbox account that went, but we do get a Sony game every year into Game Pass with MLB.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So anyway, interesting stuff. And the other headlines, it was just left over from last week, so we can bypass that. Anyway.
Okie dokie.
All right. New releases, Kim. Why don't we tackle some new releases?
Alrighty. Yeah, there's a few this week. So your new releases from March 10th through the 16th are Contra, Operation Galaga, for the PS5, Xbox Series X and S, PS4, Xbox One, Switch, and PC, March 12th. Melatonin for the PS5. Will that put you to sleep?
That's all I could think of.
Right? Anyway, you'll find out on March 12th. And we're scrolling. Alrighty. Passing By, A Tailwind Journey for the Switch and PC, March 12th. Llamasoft, The Jeff Minter Story for PC, March 13th.
That's what Robin was on about, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cartel Tycoon for the PS5, Xbox Series X and S, March 14th. Guilt for the Switch, March 14th. I'll spit it out here in a minute. High Water for your PS5, Xbox Series X and S, PS4, Xbox One, Switch, and PC, March 14th. Oh, Lawn Mowing Simulator, you're back again, but this time for the Switch on March 14th. Star Wars Battlefront Classic Collection. Cats are knocking boxes off behind me. For your PS5, Xbox Series X and S, PS4, Xbox One, Switch, PC, March 14th. What the Golf? That's the name, I kid you not. What the Golf? What the Golf for the PS5 and PS4, March 14th. Kingdom Come Deliverance Royal Edition for the Switch, March 15th. And Outcast, A New Beginning for the PS5, Xbox Series X and S, PC, March 15th. There you go.
All right.
So
thank you for that.
Was the thing where you were like, Greg, to stop your camera zooming in and out?
Yeah, pretty much.
I was getting a bit seasick. It was going.
Yeah, I really need to. I need to go into the settings and turn off the gesture control. I keep forgetting it's on, and
also I'm you unintentionally activated it.
Yeah, I just because I talk with my hands a lot, and so I try to be better about that when I'm on the podcast. Obviously, I don't need to be talking with my hands, but I do that. Here's a question: do you guys talk with your hands even when you're on the phone?
Sometimes, yeah.
I find it almost impossible for me not to make hand gestures when I'm talking. Yeah. So, all right. Play dates. Hey, we play Halo on Wednesday nights. Jay, come on. Every Wednesday, right around 8 p.m. in the UK, although it'll technically be closer to 7 p.m. This week. But maybe we'll happy medium ground, maybe 7:30-ish in the UK. 12:30-ish on the West Coast. Figure it out elsewhere. We do about 1 hour usually. That's our role with the Wednesday night Halos. And then, you know, if we get more than four, we'll go big team battle. So we will increase and just play in another zone. So fear not. Join away. Mark, you lead up Fatal Fridays.
Yeah, Fatal Fridays. I'll be putting a vote up in our Discord. It's the future. So yeah, get voting on that. And we start at 8 o'clock on Friday. Now it will be 8 o'clock UK time because it'll be a bit of a push to me to get on 7 p.m. To get on from work, have something to eat, have a shower and that. So yeah, it will be 8 p.m. UK time. So if you're in the US, you're an hour in front now, aren't you? Or behind? No, behind, is it?
Ahead of you.
No, spring forward. Yes, yeah,
so, in the future.
Yeah. So work it out. You've got Google.
Fun fact, by the way, we were talking about connecting controllers to phones. I literally, as unpacking from the move, opened up this box and I found my. I had one of those clip controllers where I could have my phone sitting on top of the controller.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's going to Goodwill.
I don't blame you. I never could get on with that thing.
I found 360 like controllers times. The other day.
Yeah. Oh, 360 controller.
Yeah. I've got my PS3 sat inside of me as well. With a PS3 controller. I've got two controllers, but one doesn't work. I think the battery's dead inside. The disadvantage of sealed internal batteries.
Right. Yeah,
true. Fair play. Okay. On that note, look, if you made it this far, thank you so much. Do like, subscribe. If you've already done that, like us and subscribe again. Why not? Double dip. I don't care.
Yeah.
You can find us on Twitter. You can find us on Facebook. We're out there trying to do the social media stuff. So engage with us there. And for sure, come back next week. We'll be on same time-ish. Same time-ish.
It'll still be an hour difference.
You don't jump ahead until
the last weekend of March, last weekend of October, and the last weekend of March. So UK does it sensibly, you know what I mean?
There's only
the US who does it differently. The whole world does it at the end of a month, unlike you guys.
Yeah, you know what I say to that, Mark?
You just being up.
Or just being great. Greatness sometimes, you know, you got to be the leader.
Like you're the only country in the world what puts the month before the date in the calendar when you're writing the calendar numbers down. The rest of the world cannot understand why you do that, but there you go.
The rest of the world's a little thick in the head. Have you seen what the rest of the world looks like?
Right.
You know,
talk about Stone Ages.
Exactly. Exactly. All right. Okay, I guess we can go to closing comments. Kim, please close out, comment on our chat, and then comment about how backwards the rest of the world is.
Right? And this is coming from the Midwest. But anyway, we had shatters this week, of course. We had CP Matthew, Snoogans, and Lord. Boomer, you were missed. I don't know where you are, but hopefully you're having a good time. So thank you guys for dropping in the chat and keeping us asking us questions, keeping us busy, that sort of thing. It's always nice. Other than that, hopefully this week I will finally get over all of this and be healthy for at least a couple of weeks before something else, you know, sidetracks me, like explosive diarrhea or something.
Wow, didn't see that coming.
Well, you know.
Yeah, neither did Kim.
I didn't see the flu coming, but here we are. So, well, you know, maybe I'll get some sort of like a rabbit encephalitis or something. I don't know. Some weird off the wall thing that hasn't been heard of in ages at this point.
I'm not sure how we got here, but we are here.
But here we are. So anyway, it's supposed to be nice the weather this week, at least for a couple of days. So that's, I'm looking forward to that. Spring is almost here. So thank God for that. As usual, it's fun being here, being with you guys and, you know, having adult type conversations, that sort of thing. And hopefully we can do it all again next weekend. So that's it for me. Over to Mark.
I want to shout out UK and Europe and the rest of the world for their sensible time differences, doing it at a sensible time. I also want to shout out the UK and the rest of the world for their sensible calendar formats. Just saying. You guys, it's been great fun again. Coming back to the podcast, it's the best thing I've done now. I took a year off and I really missed coming on. But I needed that time off. But yeah, I love it now I'm back. And a shout out to Pete. Pete, I hope you're all right. We miss you like crazy. You're not even responding to texts anymore. Right. We hope you're not sunk at the bottom of the canal somewhere or stuck on a lock. But yeah, please get in touch. Let us know you're safe and you're well.
Yeah. I can help out. I have seen photos of Pete holding a small child. So, they've not been doctored. He is finally alive. Yeah.
Right. Okay.
There is a rumor floating around that the boat no longer floating. It ran into an iceberg along the canal. but yeah, Pete, we do miss you. Robin, look, we feel horrible for you. Hopefully that that rash, whatever it's from, clears up. But yeah, shout out to the two of you. Thank you very much for joining me today. Always fun. Thank you for coming on early for you, Mark. I know
I get, I get to watch a bit of TV with Jenny before bed now. So yeah, it all works out well for me. Right.
Hope you enjoy the porn.
I need a new series, actually. Any suggestions for a new series? So
porn or something else.
Well, I didn't talk about it on what we've done, but we've watched a Netflix series called Obliterated, but I don't know what to think about it. I'm still digesting it. It's like a special ops team, but it's got a lot of comedy and it's just fucking mental. And I still don't know what I'm thinking about it yet. So yeah, we need a new series now.
All right. So here's the series I could recommend to you. It can be a little slow at times.
Right.
But it's the premise of it is very interesting. It's only murders in the building. It's got Martin Short and Steve Martin.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Selena Gomez. Talk about that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I enjoy it. It's very much kind of a whodunit. Comedy bits are thrown into it. Yeah. Sometimes they really work well. Sometimes you're kind of like, okay, you guys are showing your age a little bit. I've very much been enjoying the series. There's three seasons of it, so especially if you're watching it right before bedtime, that might be perfect.
All right, cool.
All right, on that note, go have a great rest of your weekend, everybody. We will talk to you next week.
Thank you for listening to the Overseas Connection podcast. See you same time next week.